So I'm sat here with Bella Wilson from Dance Plant Collective, and we're just going to have a little chat about your residency here and
awesome.
The work structure.
Yay.
So maybe just to start, tell us a little bit about the work
mm-hmm.
that you've been working on, and then we'll get to how that's changed since you started in the studio
yeah.
rather than it being in your head.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so structure is an idea that I've been really interested in for a really long time. I think as a person, I'm quite a meticulous kind of person, and I've always had this fascination of organizing things and finding order, and then also that kind of tension between that feeling and also that feeling of just wanting a bit of chaos at the same time. So it's something I've explored a lot in previous works
mm.
and then saw the opportunity to apply for the residency, and I was like, maybe this is the time to make it into a full-length work
mm.
and I think the word structure kind of encompasses so many things that I'm kind of seeing and experiencing in the world
mm.
That I feel are important to comment on
mm-hmm.
So it really started from like a place of curiosity in my own personal research and for a very long time, and then it's been amazing to take all of these things I've been thinking about in my head and suddenly
and
play. Yeah.
So it sounds like it's a bit autobiographical as well. It's
yeah, probably.
Is it you on stage?
Yeah.
Love the order, a bit of chaos would be nice.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought about it in that way, but I guess so. I think we can't always, I don't think we can help but
yeah.
be, you know, the work that you make is always kind of a reflection of where you're at in your life, perhaps. And it, yeah, for me, often it's, I think choreographing and performing as well helps me make sense of the world and life around me.
Yeah.
I think that's what often drives me to create.
Yeah.
Because we can't always articulate it perhaps, but we can understand it in different ways.
Mm. And what of the things that you think it comments on? Like, I mean, even has that clarified more since you've been in the studio or?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and I started by breaking down this concept of structure into lots of different aspects. So there are things like architectural structures around us, the ways in which we build things so that people have to then be forced to walk in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
So like an example of that is like the train station
yeah.
where there are really specific structures and places so that to organize people. So
mm-hmm.
looking from that kind of perspective, and then also other things like social structures and political structures and conditioning and all
mm-hmm.
the basically all the ways in which our lives are mediated to determine what kind of path you should be going down perhaps
mm-hmm.
and then the kind of interesting interplay between that and also what happens when perhaps you break away from
mm-hmm.
that predictable routine or pathway
mm-hmm.
So I think it's very much a an umbrella term that is looking at like routines and
mm-hmm.
rituals but then also the lack of that or kind of the interruption that happens and what that could
mm-hmm.
possibly lead to.
So do you think that there's a, because you've done some site-specific researchy stuff,
mm-hmm.
do you think the work would sit in a proscenium arch? You've said that before, no? It would sit in a venue
mm.
rather than site-specifically, or has that changed? Or?
Oh, that's a good question as well. I haven't even really thought too much about that. We did some research where we went out into public space here in Melbourne and
mm.
Wandered down to a few of the big train stations and they're just amazing spaces full of people
yeah.
really following a direct linear pathway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was really cool to be able to be informed by the people around us and relating it back to actual society, not just dancers doing dancerly things. I'm not sure if it would be a site-specific work necessarily, because one thing that we're quite interested in a collective at the moment is creating a work that could go into theatre spaces.
Yeah,
we've done a lot of site-specific stuff as well.
Yeah.
But I think definitely a big aspect of the work will be the audience's participation. I think we are really always considering how the audience is involved or engaged rather than just sitting there and viewing. I think it's important that the audience has an experience. So I'm kind of hoping to draw a little bit from that kind of work that we've done.
Yeah.
And maybe the space might not be a proscenium arch, but yeah, I think that for us, we felt it was important to make a theatre show for where we're at as a collective.
Yeah.
There's
it's funny you talk about the like structures of things. There's a roundabout that's up near one of the hospitals here.
Mm-hmm.
That has lots of different entries to it, but it has the bike path that goes around it that at some point jumps across car lanes, and then there's a tram that goes through the middle of it as well.
Oh my gosh.
So like layering structures on top of each other and hoping and like trying to find a way for those systems to work together so that everyone's able to go through their, you know, efficient path or whatever.
Totally.
But I remember the first time I cycled around that roundabout, it was terrifying because suddenly you're off to the side of the traffic and then suddenly you're having to go across the traffic to get to the other, like,
yeah,
as the road kind of veers off. So yeah, I imagine there are some sites around that give those things
some really interesting things.
And it makes me think of sports stadiums as well, because when you have that many people coming in and out of a venue, the way that they then organize people to move through those spaces in terms of like you walk on the left and here is where you can cross, or in Brisbane, this, and I don't know if it's the same here, but the cycle paths along the river, when there's an entry from the side, like from a little tunnel kind of entry or whatever, or down some steps, the what's drawn on the ground is different. So you have the cycle path of like you cycle on the left and then the other one's coming the other way, and then there's a footpath to the side. But where there's an entrance that comes to the side, it becomes like a checkered grid, so that people that are cycling along know that there is a possibility that someone will come out of there. So it's just really levels of organisation to almost make space for chaos to happen.
That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, that idea of being organized and ordered as like a way of improving efficiency and productivity is something that we've found really interesting, because it's kind of just as you're talking about, it's not necessarily always the most efficient thing, and it doesn't allow space for human nature, which as we know is not always precise and machine-like.
Yeah,
it was really interesting. Like, we looked initially at this idea of like the mechanization of the body and how people do live these kind of really specific lives where we walk down the same path, we possibly move our bodies through really very similar, almost like ritualistic movements every day. And one of the videos that we used as stimulus was this film by Chow Fei called Asia One, which looks inside a Chinese factory. And it was just fascinating to see how the factory workers kind of behaved, and different movements that came from that. We like took a lot of movements from both like the factory workers and also the machines and the kind of like robotic, direct, precise movement, and also the actual box. It was like a phone that was being packaged up, and it's really interesting how that kind of tension between like what is productive or what is efficient, like these are very like capitalist terms. It shows you kind of what is really valued, and then when we start to explore that in a anatomical way, it's just not necessarily the case, or like what's functional anatomically is perhaps more complex than that. I think
so. Also, it feels like it's a bit also like the friction around dance notation, so something like lava notation, or I know Benesh less well, but and you know that so lava notation came from a study of factory workers, like that's where that came out from, in order to like how do you quantify what they're doing to be able to then analyze it and see where there are more efficient patterns are. But the issue that often comes with lava notation is how do you add the dance to it, how do you add the like what it is beyond the here are the stated actions, this is where it goes, this is what the body parts do, but yeah, that something that's behind it that makes it human almost.
Totally.
So it feels like that's part of what this is that?
I think so. I think it's a big part of it.
Mm.
Like, for example, one of the things we've been exploring is this improvised section where there's a very specific set of rules. So the dancers are in a grid and they have to walk in a specific counting pattern, and there's a whole list of very complex rules about what happens when they connect, like walk into someone else or walk into a wall, or even like how big their steps are. Everything is really, really set. And then some interesting things kind of came out of that, of like, it's kind of like what happens when the machine glitches or if it all gets too much, and it's like, actually we're just humans and we just want to have a breakdown and stuff. So some kind of interesting things happen where we kind of talked about of like, well, what happens when like things kind of blow up and you do just have a breakdown, because we are sentient beings and you do feel things. And I also think on that kind of note as well, like on a level, when you're choreographing, there's often how something feels and then how it's viewed can often be two quite different things. So it can be really difficult sometimes to quantify it, like when you're analyzing from the outside how it's reading, and then also like finding that way of being really specific so that the dancers are clear about what the experience is and the intention behind it. It can take some timing and some time and some shift of language, I think, to find the midway point where you really can kind of have clarity on what it is without going too far into like an acting world. Because a lot of the subtleties, I think, that are powerful within dance are really, really clear embodiment of an idea and exploration of an idea and unpacking that. And so that's something I've been really curious with this work, is working with subtlety and that idea of less being more at times. And then when it is more, really going more.
Yeah. And how has it been to come into the studio? Because you said to me at the start that this work has been in your head for a long time. So how's it been to take it out of your head and put it in the space?
It's been really cool. I think one of the biggest things for me with this residency is that I really wanted it to be process-oriented without needing the pressure to structure a first draft of a work. So with that in mind, all of the sessions we've had have had that very kind of explorative workshopping focus. And what that's meant is that often when we make material, you do the task once and then you kind of keep what you did and then develop that and set it, and then you just don't always have time, I guess, to really keep going back into that task until you find what the state is. And another thing is that I didn't really have clear aesthetic outcomes for what I wanted to achieve. I had really, really clear concepts, and I wanted to see if we could push ourselves to find different ways of embodying those things in different states and different ways of moving. So that's been a really wonderful thing, to allow it to evolve. It's interesting for me as well, because I'm making a work about structure and I'm quite a specific, organized kind of being, and then I've had days where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. I don't know what it means, you know, which is always normal, but it's interesting to see.
Within the context of the work.
Within the context of the work, how my own brain is kind of going from being really precise and clear to kind of having fog. And I guess it's all, like, I think the work will be a bit like that as well. Like, it will have moments of, like, very precise, structured stuff and moments where it all kind of breaks loose. Yeah.
And has your sense of the work changed a lot since getting into the studio, or do you feel like it's still what you thought it was going to become?
I think a bit of both. I went in kind of having this idea that there would be movement for three clear sections.
Yeah, the three worlds.
So I was like, there's going to be an order world and a chaos world and a new hopeful world for the future where we all connect and get along and there's and it's interesting because I was like, well, that's a very linear goal. And then I came in and just realized, well, what's actually possibly more interesting is the constant interplay between the two things, and not necessarily like having just order or just chaos, but how those concepts kind of are constantly like the contrast, I guess, between them helps to inform the context of what's happening. Mm. So it's almost more successful if like the material we're generating has elements of both. Mm. So I guess that's how it's shifted for me.
So you got rid of the three-act play?
I think so. Yeah, I think that the actual eventual structure of the whole work will not be very linear at all. Yeah.
Yeah. And is what you wanted to say with it what you still want to say with it?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of stuff comes up. I mean, as a collective, we're all really passionate about making work that the audience will get and will also expand people's minds in a way where they might challenge ideas that they have, or inviting in conversation or questioning, all that kind of thing. I'm not so interested personally, this is just like my kind of philosophical approach to making work, but I'm not so interested in making really abstract work which kind of a normal member of the public would come along and not quite understand what's happening.
So making it accessible is important.
Yeah, but at the same time not obvious and not literal. Like I think you can do both. So yeah, that's been quite a big focus for us, is bringing in that and also making it a commentary on the things that are happening around us. So a lot of the tasks I've done, I've actually gotten the dancers to like do some stream of consciousness writing or some really long improvisations after having big discussions. Like we watched a whole bunch of videos of natural disasters and like this idea of something small leading to something catastrophic. We've watched lots of videos, looked at lots of images, and then from there, within some sort of parameters, but I've kept it quite open for the dancers to really explore what is more meaningful to them. And then some really interesting material has been generated from that, which I think is quite universal. So like ideas of like trying to piece things together and constantly failing, or trying to construct something which ultimately just gets dismantled. The feeling of like wanting to connect but wanting to be separate at the same time. Lots of these things that have kind of keep coming up in different ways. I think yesterday was an interesting day because we did some longer improvs where I said, let's try and bring in like this whole list of different worlds we've explored, and it was quite amazing to see almost like these different worlds colliding at the same time. Yeah, it's kind of all, it gets to that point where it all kind of starts to make sense a new way.
And this is first development, like there will be further developments on the work, I guess. But it sounds like it's coming into a point of some understanding at the end of this, which is good.
I think so, yeah. I think, so like a key aspect will be working with all of our collaborators. So we have like a composer, an AV designer, a costume designer, a lighting designer, have I forgotten someone, a choreographic mentor. So all the kind of conversations with the whole team, I think, will just help, you know, all of those things you can do on stage that you can't always do in the studio because you don't have dramatic lighting and stuff like that, will really kind of help to shift things as well. And we'll have a few months between now and our next development to just have some space and time to think about how to structure. And what will be in there and, what it might look like as a show.
Are there things, because you've only been here for just under 2 weeks, so are there things within that that you feel you just haven't got to yet in terms of exploring?
I guess like the kind of this idea of like what this futuristic world might be or something is something that has been quite difficult to figure out yet. So I've kind of moved away from worrying about that so much. And I think that that will just evolve. And yeah, I've just felt really calm the whole residency, actually. I've not really been too worried about whether we find the answers or not. Because I think often that that kind of mentality can block you anyway. So it's, yeah, it's kind of been nice to just let go of the need to have to figure it all out now. Because sometimes those things will just come to you once you see all the other things pieced together. Yeah, and I don't know. I don't even know if that last world, whatever the world might be, is like a huge thing, or if it's...
Or is something you need to create at all.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just what we've got. Maybe that's what people are left with.
Perhaps, yeah.
If that's a question that is posed or something.
Yeah, because I don't know. Yeah, sometimes, like, giving all the answers when you don't have the answers doesn't really make sense. Perhaps.
That it's comment on rather than didactic.
Exactly. And I think it's more of a reflection of, like, the kind of space that the world is in right now, of, like, this kind of space of having this very, you know, capitalist structure for a long time, which we know is really not sustainable and is severely damaging the planet. And there's already all of these... kind of like breaking points that the world is meeting. And yeah, it's also sometimes I'm like, well, it's my first full length work, maybe I don't have to solve all the problems of the world in in one piece or have all the answers. But I think a big part of it is this thing of coming together perhaps, and finding a way to do that. I know, I trust that that will happen.
Great. Is there anything else you want to pick up on that has happened during the residency, or is it all surprising or challenging, or particularly, because you said there were some things that felt really clear at the start, but then you open them up and you were like, oh no, they're not really something, or things that you thought were not really anything at all that have become quite significant.
Totally. I think that happens a lot in the tasking process as well, of like there's so many factors that go into whether the task works or not, or whether it leads to interesting material. Yeah. So like,
this is great.
Yeah. I've got my notebook open at the moment. Yeah, I think we had an interesting moment in sort of midway last week where we'd unpacked so much and gotten to the point where it almost felt too restrictive, perhaps. And it was a really interesting thing for me, because I think the process of developing is like refining and refining, so if it's becoming clearer, that's a good thing. And so I think one of the challenges is just knowing that people work in different ways, like some people need really specific instructions or directions on how to go about something, and other people need maybe something a bit more vague or open, whether it's improvising or setting material. So I think that's been quite an interesting thing, because there were some tasks which on day one I was like, oh, that's going to lead to some really great things, I can see it, and when I tried it, it worked for me, or even specific words that I used, which I was like, oh, perfect, and then worked with the dancers and they were like, oh, I didn't really connect with that. But I think that's normal. And then sometimes would go back to those tasks at a later point after doing a whole bunch of different things, and it was, it made much more sense at that point. And another thing is like how you warm up is really key as to what state the body's in.
Oh yeah, you said depending on who was teaching class that morning.
Yeah.
The afternoon was quite different.
It's been amazing. So I feel like we've been very influenced by Melbourne's postmodern scene. There's been some really interesting movement which has been generated from morning class, or like the day, I think it was Friday last week, we had yoga in the morning, and then we were in the smaller studio, which doesn't have as much outside light and is a bit more kind of contained energetically, and that led to all this really like ultimate relaxation movement. and then that led to some really interesting movement of like this full on release through the top of the head, which has led to this quite full on movement. yeah, so I actually think that's been something which has been really interesting, of like how you warm up the body and you prepare your body really can inform the material that you make or the decisions you make or the mindset you're in. And sometimes I've changed my plan quite a bit, like like yesterday I was like, cool, so we're doing counter technique, people will feel really open and released, so let's go into partnering stuff because it makes sense. Whereas like another day we had ballet, which was like very structured, and then I thought, I think going from that into the factory line kind of material worked really well. So yeah, that's been really interesting to explore.
It's good that you have such variation in the creative process to accommodate all those different, different warm-up styles.
Yeah, it's been so nice for us because we usually just do our own warm-up, and you know, facilitate that ourselves and try to be as quick as possible so we can make
just to get on with the work.
So it's been such a privilege to just be able to do the thing full time again
and be influenced by it.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Okay.
Awesome. Great. Thanks so much, Tom.
Well, thanks for chatting.
Yay.
And you have a sharing tomorrow?
Yes, yeah. So tomorrow
we'll see some little bits of what you've been working on and
it'll
be great.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool. I think it'll be nice to put it all into a bit of a context. I think that might even just that thing of performing will probably help shift some stuff as well. Because it.
And are you? Are you outside of it?
Probably not in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I'll be in the eventual work. I think it's really difficult for me personally to jump in and out constantly. Particularly, I think it'll get to a point where we're setting a lot of really specific counts and like subtle details, which is just really hard to rehearse or direct when you're not.
When you're in the middle of it.
For the sharing, I might jump into a couple of the group things just to bulk it out a bit. But yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. Thanks so much.